Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
In John chapter 20, verse 21, it says something like this. Jesus says, "As the Father has sent me, so send I you." As the Father, think about what Jesus is saying. As God the Father sent Jesus, Jesus said, "In the same way, so send I you." Right, in John chapter 14, drop down to verse 12. John 14, drop down to verse 12. The truth is, anyone who believes in me will do the same works that I have done. Now, this is the New Living Translation. I know that just from the men's group, we have amplified translations, and we have NIVs, and we have King James, and we have different translations. But verse 12 is making a statement that's pretty clear. And the statement is that when Jesus said, "As the Father sent me, so send I you," that He sent us to do the works that the Father sent Him to do. And Jesus makes this declaration. We talk about declarations. I declare. The truth is, this is a declaration. It's a proclamation. That anyone, are you an anyone? You part of the anyones? I'm a part of the anyones. Will do the same works I have done, and even, now we like this part, don't we? Even greater works. Because I am going to be with my Father. Now, I would love to spend the morning talking about the greater works, but why don't we just start with talking about the works that He did? Because Jesus starts there, so it's appropriate for us to start there. Now, I've been blessed, and probably all of you, either by television or maybe in live services, have been blessed to be in gatherings with some leaders, spiritual leaders, that have seen the dead raised. I believe the leader in Nigeria we were with, I believe it was 5 documented cases, had been raised from the dead during this leader's ministry. And it was evident that the nation had respect for him, and even the witch doctors had respect for him. They were afraid of him because of the power of God that was operative in his life. And we were in a nation during a time of revolt. In fact, the only other vehicles I saw running down the road other than ours were military. We saw buses burning on the side of the road. We saw cars burning. We saw homes burning. We saw a lot of things burning. And we would come up to a military roadblock. And when we would get there, they would want to see who's in the vehicle. They wanted to know who we were and why we were driving down that road at that time. And we were there for evangelistic services. And the gentleman that I was traveling with was a nephew of this spiritual leader. And when he was asked, "What is your mission?" he said, "I am here on official business for God under the covering of Bishop Itahosa." And wherever we were stopped on every occasion, the man who came to the car walked away, talked with some of the other military leaders, came back and said, "You may go." That's how we moved through Nigeria that year. Now, that was wonderful. I mean, I was pretty impressed with that. I said, hey, God, this is pretty cool that we actually get to live. I mean, phones didn't work. We didn't have access to banks. Things had been shut. Couldn't just call my wife. She didn't know what we were going through. But I realized that God had raised up a witness to his power in the nation that had gained the attention of the majority of the people there. I believe that God wants to do that in America again. Again. Now, when I was a kid, there were all kinds of healing crusades and rallies, and there were various churches and temples and tent meetings where there were wheelchairs that were left around the front. There were crutches on the walls. There were all kinds of testimonies of miraculous things that had happened on a regular basis. And just this morning, one of you said something to me about that. Why are we not seeing more of that? So I want to talk to you about the more this morning. And I believe this season of seeking God is important because I believe Jesus is coming soon and that there is a harvest yet to be brought in. Let me ask you this. Are any of you praying for someone to be saved that's not saved yet? Do you have faith to believe that they will be saved? Are you looking for them to be saved before the rapture and before the tribulation? I am too. And so God has put that measure of faith inside of us, right? And do any of you remember the day when Jesus said to a man who was lame, he said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." Any of you remember when he said that? And he was questioned, "How can you say that?" And then he raised a question to them. He said, is it more difficult to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or take up your bed and walk? Have you remember that passage in the scripture? And then Jesus said, but so that you will believe, I say unto you, take up your bed and walk. Now the reason why I'm sharing that passage and just asking you to remember it is that Jesus was saying something. He was saying that the same power, the same anointing, the same Word of God that tells us if we believe in our heart, confess with our mouth, if we repent, if we turn from our sins to God, that we will be saved, the same Word says that the same provision provides for healing and miracles and signs and wonders as well. I have been expecting and believing for more since I was born again. But do you know what? I'm not discouraged. And I am not losing my faith in God. And I have not decided to expect less because I haven't seen more. Some people have grown discouraged and expect less because you haven't seen more. I choose to look at the Word of God that says there's more and it's coming. It's coming. And I want to be a part of the more. Anyone with me this morning? All right, so hang on. We're just getting started. The truth is anyone, I'm an anyone. If you're an anyone, say I'm an anyone. Who believes in me will do the same works I have done, even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, because the work of the Son brings glory to the Father. Yes, ask anything in my name, and I will do it. Okay. Now, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, we're going to go to Luke next. Even as you're turning there, or they'll be looking for it, Luke chapter 4. When Jesus went to the desert to be tempted, he was fully armed and dangerous to the devil. fully armed. We're going to look at that this morning because I believe God wants us to be fully armed and dangerous to the plans and purposes and intentional work of the devil. Jesus took with him some weapons. And I want for us to look at this in Luke chapter 4 and just take note of what actually took place. It begins the chapter by saying, "Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit." How do you know being full of the Holy Spirit is the greatest fear Satan has? You know, I used to hear people talking about one another saying they're full of baloney. In fact, I think I've been told that a couple times. But I want you to know my baloney's anointed this morning. So if you think I'm full of baloney, somebody may say, "Well, Pastor, you're a little crazy to believe God like this," but I'm just going to believe God because God is God. And I remember when Jesus asked the disciples, "Are you going to leave?" And they said something really important. They said, "Where could we go? To whom would we go?" And let me ask you that question this morning. If you shrink back or pull back or do not press forward in this year, where are you going to go? And if you think the enemy has sought to advance against you and your household, as you advance in this last day, do not expect him to go on vacation. He is not planning a vacation. And so the first importance is to be full of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus went back to the Father so he could send the Holy Spirit so that through being born again, we could then be filled with the Holy Spirit. Are you still with me this morning? This is not too deep. It's not too challenging. But it's really important. It's really important. We used to sing a song, "Whose report will you receive?" There we go. We will receive the report of the Lord. Do you know how you're going to receive the report of the Lord? Is if you're full of the Holy Spirit. If you're not full of God's Spirit, if you're in rebellion, if you're going the opposite direction, you are going to be full of the world's knowledge and you will miss what God's wanting to do. And you will get caught up in the garbage the enemy's trying to throw at you. But being full of the Spirit, and we could talk about this, but let me just make it real simple. John says, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. If you will abide in me, I will abide in you. He says, you will bring forth much fruit. Fruit. Your life will not be barren. In other words, you will be filled with my Spirit. The life of God will be flowing through your mind, flowing through your body, flowing through your thoughts, flowing through your actions. If we abide in Him. Now this is a choice. And yes, it includes the Word, and includes prayer, and includes our daily walk with Him. But it's really important that we understand that all of us are qualified to do this. This is not something that just Billy Graham got a hold of, or Reinhard Bonnke got a hold of, or Smith Wigglesworth got a hold of. No, this is available for all of us. If you will abide in me and let my words abide in you, then God says, I will abide in you, not just with, but in, full of the Holy Spirit. This, I believe, is very important, that the enemy never catches you when you're not full of the Spirit. I believe some people have this idea of, well, you know, there was a great move of God, and I got filled with the Spirit, and I was all excited and full of faith. And then I ran into an attack of the enemy, And during that attack, it seems I lost a lot of that. See, this is why the Word says we need to continually be filled. Continually be filled. And let me assure you of something. God knows what the enemy's trying to bring against you, and He knows how full you need to be. And in fact, the plan is not that you're just full for yourself, but that rivers of living water are released. Hey, listen, you don't get them at the local well. You don't get them from Stewart's best water in the country, whatever they say about it. We get this from having time with God. And this is time where we get alone with God. You may say, I don't know what to say. Then say nothing. Just say, God, I'm just here. I want to get better acquainted. Set your clock. Get up early. Stay up late. Find a spot during your day, maybe a break, and make that time a time where you say, God, I just want to be in your presence. I want you to teach me to pray. I want you to teach me to be filled. I want to live in your presence. You're still with me. You understand what I'm saying, right? It's not a long ways off. It's not hard to get a hold of. And so the Word of God does not tell us that we get emptied out and then we're vulnerable. Because if we were, then we would be at risk. I don't believe God leaves us at risk. In fact, the Word says that there is always a way out of every situation. That God will show you the way out. In this room, I look over in the wall and there's an exit light over there. Are there any more? Oh yeah, there's one over here. Oh yeah, there's one over here. Okay. Now, do you know why they're here? They're required by law. In other words, if all the lights go out, the law says there has to be a secondary power source that shows you where the exits are. Now, if Martin County, Florida, can have a law that says if all the lights go out, you need to have an exit sign so you know how to get out. How many of you understand that God certainly knows how to turn on the exit sign when all the lights go out and all hell is coming against you? And so I want to assure you this morning that whatever we're going to face in this year, in order to have miracles, you have to have some problems. Yes? If there's going to be miracles, there have to be some challenges. If you're going to see God grow bigger, then you have to face things that only God can handle. You know what this means? This means that there are going to be things in my life that I can't understand, I can't solve, I can't manage, I cannot find any man or woman that can meet that need. Only God can do it. Do you know when we get beyond all of our natural resources, we come to a place where supernatural resources are the only thing we have. And so I actually like comfort, like air conditioning and lights and nice padded chairs. I like all of those things. But I have found out in the middle of the night when I can't see my hand in front of my face that God is still God and God still leads and guides me. And He will do you as well. This is His promise. So here we are. Jesus is full of the Holy Spirit. That is the greatest weapon, full of the Holy Spirit. He was led by the Spirit to go into the wilderness, so He was full of obedience. Obedience is a powerful weapon. If you have the Holy Spirit and you're submitted to God, then obedience is something God strengthens you to do. God is the one who gives us strength. And so Jesus is led by the Spirit to go into the wilderness. He goes into the wilderness. And that's where the devil tempted Him for 40 days. 40 days. Now, contextually, if you just look at these verses we've looked at, it gives us this picture that he is being tempted every day for 40 days. Every day. Now, we know that he is fully armed because he's full of the Holy Spirit. We know that he's fully obedient. But there's something else I want you to get this morning. There's another weapon. He ate nothing. Look at your translation. What does it say? This is another weapon. I want you to understand this. I want you to understand that when we submit to God, or we surrender to God, or we lay some things aside so we can pursue God, God takes notice of that. Do you remember the lady that had an issue of blood? She'd spent all of her money. She's broke. She's still bleeding. In fact, the Word says she was worse. And she was one that would be required by law to say, I'm unclean, and not to brush shoulders in the crowd because of the uncleanness. But do you remember what she did? She believed if she could just touch the hem of his garment that she would receive. And she pressed through the crowd. And she touched him. And Jesus knew he was touched by somebody that came for more. She came for more. She wasn't waiting. Now, Jesus could have called her out of the crowd. He could have done that. But she was active in her faith, and she pressed through the crowd to touch him. Instantly, she was healed. You know that story. Here we see Jesus is for 40 days tempted by the devil. He's full of the Holy Spirit. He was led by the Holy Spirit to go there. And he was led by the Holy Spirit to eat nothing all that time. So listen, if the Holy Spirit led you to give up television for 40 days or 21 days, or if he led you to give up desserts, or if he led you to give up all food for one meal a day, whatever the Holy Spirit leads you to do, he will protect you and strengthen you for that journey. Do you understand that? And so that's why I am so adamant. We do not fast out of law, but we fast out of desire to pursue God. And we can choose to do that, but we need to be led of the Holy Spirit. This was a supernatural fast. It's not natural. Supernatural. Because it not only says that he ate nothing all that time, it says he was very hungry. Now I've been on fast where I've been very hungry. In fact, we're going to be starting ours tomorrow, my wife and I, and we're doing a modified Daniel fast. My wife may not do it exactly like I do. But for us, there are certain things we're going to cut out, and one of those things is caffeine. And we cut that out a few years ago and decided we don't really need it. So we just don't do that, really. Another thing we're going to cut out is white breads. We may have some whole grain crackers or something, maybe, over the period of time. Another thing we cut out is fried foods. These are just things that we cut out. And we cut out all desserts, all sugars, even ice cream and chocolate and cookies, and yeah, you know what desserts are, right? So there's like four or five things that we cut out, and even like even the meats. We will be sensitive. We will eat some meat, but we will be sensitive to what we eat during this time. But But that's what we're going to do. So we're going to start tomorrow. All right. So he ate nothing all the time, was very hungry. And then he's tempted. And we have a record of these three areas, right? So over 40 days, these three areas could have been brought to him interchangeably from different perspectives. But we know for sure these three areas took place. And of course, the enemy says to him, he's very hungry. If you're the Son of God, change a stone into a loaf of bread. Jesus told him, no, the scriptures say people need more than bread for their life. What does he use? The Word of God. Another weapon. The Word of God. Then the devil took him up and revealed to him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. The devil told him, I will give you the glory of these kingdoms and authority over them because they are mine to give to anyone I please. I will give it all to you if you will bow down and worship me. I suspect some of you in this room have been tempted by the enemy to compromise in some areas at some time in your life. I certainly have. And so the test is there, the temptation is there. I will give it all to you if you will bow down and worship me. And that really is what Satan wants. He wants worship. And in verse 8, Jesus says again, he goes to what? The scriptures. He quotes the scriptures. Now, you may say, I can't memorize. I've had people tell me over the years, I can't memorize. I know that some of you are very comfortable reading. Some of you struggle reading. But you can listen. And so we don't all have to learn the same way. But let me remind you of something. The Word of God says it's the Holy Spirit that brings to our remembrance. When we're put on test, now it's talking about kings and government leaders, that if you're called in, don't sweat it. Don't get all shook up. Don't try to figure out how to outmaneuver the devil. Let God deal with him. And God, by His Holy Spirit, will fill your mouth with what needs.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStuart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
What can wash away my sin? What can make me whole again? What can cleanse me from within? Nothing but the blood. For my pardon this I see, for my cleansing this my plea. Draw my wandering heart to thee. Nothing but the blood. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
This is all my hope and peace. This is all.